once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the dusky island nation of Sri Lanka, where, yes, the sun is going down, and I got a nice drive ahead, and a chance to catch up with you once again, as we all share this journey. You know, we're all on this path together. You know, I know that in the world and the way the world works, the world seeks to exalt people, lift them up, make them superstars, superheroes in the body of Christ, and do all that kind of thing. But when somebody steps into Christ, what God does is He begins to work on each and every one of us. And His Spirit begins to refine, to shape, to quicken, to do so much inside of our hearts and our beings as He fashions us into the image and the likeness of Christ Jesus. And in Him, there is no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. There is no... yes, God gives authority to His people and responsibility to His people. But at the same time, you know, importance and significance, you know, you and I, we are all under the lordship of Christ Jesus directly. No one lords over you. No one lords over me. No one lords over your life. You have no one standing between you and the Father. You know, part of the curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. That was part of the curse of the law. You know, in the old school, Old Testament, old school, in the Old Testament, the way that it was set up was, you know, every year, the high priest would go in and make intercession for the people. And when he would go in to make intercession for the people, you know, he had to, they would literally tie a rope around his leg. Because when he would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood on the altar for the sins of the people, if God was angry, or if God had an issue, either with the people or with him or whatever, he would literally die in that place. And nobody could go in after him, because if they tried to go in after him to get him out of there, they would die too. So they had to pull him out by his feet with the rope that was tied around his feet. And the only way they knew if the guy fell down and died was because the bells that were tied onto his garment would stop jingling. So as long as they heard things jingling, you know, they knew that he was still alive. I mean, you want to talk about reverence. You want to talk about not playing. I mean, it was serious. It was serious stuff. When somebody would go into the presence of a holy God and to that which was an earthly representation of a spiritual reality in the heavenlies, yeah, you couldn't play. And if you did try to play, you died. You remember those two guys, sons of the high priest, offering strange fire? Dead. So, you know, that... Now, God's standard of holiness has not changed. However, for us, because of what Christ Jesus did for us, our ability to access the Father, to go before His presence in Christ, who was that... It is and always will be that pure, spotless Lamb of God whose blood was sufficient to pay our price, to redeem us, the propitiation for our sins, the absolute, valid sacrifice and payment in full for your redemption and my redemption was done in Christ Jesus. When He went to the cross of His own free will, laid down His life of His own accord so that you and I might be saved, so that you and I might have a relationship with a holy God, with a perfect God. That is what you and I live in this day. We live in that connection. We live in that presence. We live with that peace. And that's why no matter what the world may offer you, whatever the world may try to give you, it's nothing compared to what it is that you and I have found in Christ Jesus. So we praise God for that. We thank God for that. We live in that reality each and every day. You and I walk through this life with an ever-present sense of the reality and the peace and the presence of God in our lives. Now, in this process, God works with us. And in this process of God refining us, He knows what He's doing. You know, I know that sometimes it does get hard. And you know, this, you know what? Listen, this last year for the body of Christ around the world has been a very, very hard year. I think universally, the entire body of Christ, it has been a very, very hard year. You know, I think just about everybody that I know has gone through a rough, rough year. And, you know, a lot of us are beginning to kind of come out of a lot of things, you know, but that is a work of the Spirit, not something based on human endeavors, human actions, human efforts. And, you know, there is a season where it seems like no matter what you do, no matter what you try to do, it doesn't help. And that is because, you know, sometimes you just got to go through a few things. And you got to hold fast to your confession. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to what it is that God has shown you. Because if you don't hold fast to it, you know, faith is that certainty. See, this is, okay, faith, another word for faith, trust. Trust, faith, both same thing. What is it? Certainty. You know that you know that you know. And that's why when Jesus said, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can, well, I mean, you know, we can go into the whole thing about moving the mountain another time, but you can say to this mountain, you know, or this tree, be uprooted, move from here to there. This mountain, you know, if you've got that certainty in your heart, that size of a mustard seed, if you've got just that much absolute certainty that God will do what He said He would do, that applied to any situation will change the situation. Because when you act in faith, it's a different thing. See, when you act in faith, it is not now based on logic, not now based on human idea, human concept, human emotion, human desire, soulish thinking, cost-benefit analysis, strategic planning, logical frameworks. It's not based on any of these things. It is based on something within the very core of your being that says, you know what? This is what God is going to do. And you know why? Because He's spoken it into my heart and I trust Him. See, God wants you to always act out of that trust and assurance and to live on that place rather than spending your life, your time, your energy trying to make things work according to your best estimation. You know, that doesn't mean that you discount your brain. Of course not. God gave you a brain for a reason. He gave you a mind for a reason. He wants you to use it. But your brain, your soul, your natural thinking is your servant and not your master. There's a difference. There's a difference between acting out of faith and acting out of fear, or acting out of emotion, or acting out of best intentions and logical thinking. And, you know, as time goes on, that action based on faith is going to be more and more important. Faith being the bedrock. Trust in Christ being the bedrock of why you do what you do. Not something you tack on at the end. And it'll start with faith, and then from there the application of the other things that God gives you. So he will then apply wisdom and knowledge. He will then apply the Proverbs. In the multitudes of counselors there is safety. You will then apply the resources that God's given you to bear on that thing that you do in faith. Now, you know, one thing that you know we've struggled with over time has been as a body has been the hijacking within visible for lack of a better word, for visible Christian circles, I guess, of what faith is and the application of that. And usually, you know, one thing that you can tell is when people look at what the motive is. Is the motive of what people do, is it carnal? Is it focused on the world? Is it focused on a worldly outcome? On a worldly pursuit? Is it glorify God? Or does it glorify man? Does it glorify the flesh? When I hear, name it and claim it gospel stuff, which is all focused on materialism and wealth, whereas when I read the scriptures and I see Paul saying, you know what, I've learned this, I've learned how to be content in whatever situation I may be in, whether in little or in much. So how did he learn that? A man walking by faith and not by sight. A man trusting God and being obedient to his will. Well, he went through some stuff. He went through some ups and downs. And he also learned that whatever the material state, God would take care of him. God has taken care of you. If you look back at your life, even when things have been tough, even when things have been rough, even when you've not quite known what to do, if you look back right now, as you listen to this, and you stop and you think, look back and see, God has always brought you through, right? God has always carried you through, right? He's always showed up when you needed him to. He's always provided for you when you've been stuck. He's always made a way, even after the deadline has been passed. God has always showed up for you. And you know this. And, you know, yet, for some reason, and I think it's appropriate that Scripture refers to God's people like sheep without a shepherd. I think it's appropriate because sheep as animals are prone to losing their way. They don't seem like the sharpest knives in the drawer when it comes to the animal kingdom. Relatively defenseless, pretty much. And, you know, as an animal, not the smartest ones out there. But, you know, in the hands of a good shepherd, under the direction of a good shepherd, they are led to green pastures, to still waters. They're led to places that restore their souls. Though they be in a parched land at times, God will carry them through. Now, you know, God is a way of taking care of his people amidst whatever struggle they may be facing. He knows how to take care of his people. But see, what happens is people, they have their own ideas of what they think God should do. They have their own ideas of the way they believe that God should be with them. And that's one thing that God has to break inside of people. Because he won't have that. He's not going to have that with you. He's not going to have that with me. He's not going to have us placing on him what it is that we think that he should do and the way we think that he should be. It's not going to happen like that. See, so when you think that God should be a certain way, what often he does is he orchestrates your situation so that he does things opposite of what you thought he would. And then he sees, do you still trust me? You know, I used to joke with my friends, and I used to say, look, don't say, I would never go there or someplace. Don't say, I'd never go there, because it seems like what happens with God with so many of those times when people have said that, is that's that place they said they would never go, all of a sudden seemed to be the place that God would send them. It's kind of comical, actually, when I used to see that. There are places in the world that God has sent me that I never thought I would go. That I never thought I would be, you know, somebody that would be in those places doing anything. But God, in his time, sent me to the places I didn't think I would go, to do things I never thought I would do, to have an impact in the natural, but it is rooted in spirit and moved by spirit and according to spiritual principles, reasons, guidelines, frameworks, according to God's plan and purpose. You and I have to allow for that. Because see, if you don't, what you end up with is your natural reasoning, your natural thought, your natural sequence of life. And you know what? It's very boring. It's very boring. You know, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, one thing, as tough as some things in this life has been for me, I look back and my life has not been boring at all. It has been an abundant life. It has been a fulfilled life. It has been a life thus far of incredible challenge, incredible obstacles, and yet God has blessed, rewarded, protected, carried through. And in the times when I had nowhere to go, one thing that I learned to do was to cry out to him in the middle of my despair. And there's been those moments of despair. To cry out to him in the middle of those moments and say, Lord God, please help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. I have no idea, but I trust you. And you know what? God respects those prayers. God honors those prayers. God has a way of working in impossible situations to accomplish his purpose. See, you and I were put in this world not to be... whether you are success in this world or not, that's not the main focus. You and I were put in this world to follow him and to go from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, to show forth his redemptive plan to all creation so that people would see and know and understand the depth of his love in what he does in us, what he does for us, and what he does through us. And God wants that redemptive plan to be made manifest in you as somebody that receives it and as somebody that is an ambassador for it. Now, you can fight God's plan for your life, but if you do that, the only problem is that it doesn't You miss out on his perfect will. See, the abundant life that God wants for us happens in his perfect will. And, you know, people sometimes don't get that because they think, if I just get this, if I just do this, if I just have this particular job, or if I just convince this person to date me, or if I just have a bigger paycheck, or if I just have this toy that I've been looking at, or whatever it is. But there's no fulfillment in those things. Fulfillment comes when your heart is locked to his, when your will is joined to his, when your consciousness is the very consciousness of God, because he gives you his mind. you have the very mind of Christ. And He puts that mind in you by the power of His Spirit. And so when your thinking goes forward, your thinking goes forward as one that is quickened by His Spirit because you've yielded your will to His. And you've allowed Him to make that change in you. Ah, you know, it doesn't necessarily make it easier because of the things that we face, the things that we struggle with. But what it does do is it lets you know a bit more about what's going on, a bit more about what you and I face, a bit more about what we have to look forward to. You know, let's stop in for a moment and talk about what it is that we look forward to after this life is over. You know, we look forward to, first and foremost, spending our eternity with the very lover of our souls. We look forward to His complete and total consuming presence. And being in that, staying in that, remaining in that. We look forward to the removal of evil, the removal of sin, the very presence of sin being removed. Not just the temptations, but the very presence of sin no longer being there. We look forward to that. You know how nice it's going to be when you and I don't have to struggle with some of these things anymore? When you and I don't have to be put in harm's way? So we look forward to that. We look forward to an eternal friendship, relationship, connection with those that we love and care about, that are followers of Christ, that those ones, we spend eternity in relationship with them. And we enjoy God's creation, God's universes in that process, in that time. We experience God's handiwork with each other. We look forward to a time where whatever it is that you can think and dream, you can create. Unobstructed, unadulterated, without that ridiculous challenge that goes on to everything that you try to do in this life and in this world. No, now you can move forward with whatever God puts in front of you and whatever you put your hand to and see the beauty of what it is that God allows you to make and to create. And God will support and be with you in that whole process. You know, we look forward to so much as His bride. We look forward to just eternal rest in Him. So, you know, as we go forward into this life, realize that every day that you're here is one day closer to an eternity with Him. And before that happens, though, realize that God has kept you in this life for a reason. If that wasn't the case, you and I would go home by now. God has kept you in this life for a reason, because His desire, His will, is yet to be completely fulfilled in your life. So one of the best things that you and I can do is to make sure that we fulfill the will of God in our lives. To make sure that you and I stay on track with Him. Because then what He does is He does the work. But we have to yield to that. You know, there is an incredible time coming up for the people of God. There's an incredible season on the horizon for God's true church. And this season is going to be trying. This season is going to be testing. This season will be, it will be tougher than anything that people have ever experienced before in their lives. And yet, God is going to do the miraculous in and through them as they trust Him. You know, this season that we're going into, it is going to be hard. and the things that you and I have gone through before, the difficulties that we face, it has been to prepare us for what is to come. And, you know, how do you get through that which is to come? Well, to start with, you just have to put it before Him. Whatever it is that you end up facing in the time to come, you need to put it before Him in prayer. Father God, Your will be done, Lord. Please, help me. And watch what He does. You know, God will take care of those that trust Him. But they truly need to trust Him. You need that certainty in your heart that He is who He said He is. And He will do what He said He would do. So, you know, try not to get caught up too much in the soulish thinking, in the in the different prospects of what people try to do now in this life without aligning themselves with Him. Try not to get too caught up in those things, because there's nothing really good in the long run that happens with that. I know with some of you, because of your work and the things that you do, you bump into people, rub shoulders with people that, you know, are very much opposed to life and truth. But even in those situations, just, you know, seek the Lord, because He may be using you even to help that person, even to bring to that person to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to a saving state of being as one of His children. God may be doing that in and through you. You don't know. So trust Him and allow Him to reveal what it is that He's doing in and through you. And don't get too caught up in all that's going on around you, because that which is going on around you is just that. It's what's going on around you. Focus on that which is within. Jesus said in Luke 17, "My kingdom, the kingdom of God, is within you." And that's where your peace lies. That's where your hope lies. That's where truth lies. That's where your victory is and will always be. It flows from within you. And rather than looking for it on something from the outside, focus on that which is within. Because that which is within is that which is, will last. It is that which God predestined and preordained for you to walk in and walk through. And now is the time of salvation. Allow the Spirit of God to activate those gifts that are in you, to align your life with the Spirit, to strengthen you for the call and the task at hand. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, rise up into what God has called you to do. Rise up in who God's called you to be. Don't be sitting on the sidelines, twiddling your thumbs, asking all sorts of questions, evaluating everybody that comes by, giving them a grade of 1 to 10. You got to drop all of that. And you got to trust Him. If somebody speaks under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's listen. Listen to that word. And then move on. If somebody does that which God has called them to do, listen and then move on. Keep going with what God has put in your heart. Because as you fulfill the mission and the ministry that God has for you, that will bless the hearts of many. And you don't necessarily know or see the long-term ramifications of your choices, but God knows, God sees, and God understands. And He will do amazing things in and through you. He will. But you got to trust Him. So, you know, amidst all of this, amidst the challenges, amidst the attacks that come on the people of God, amidst the demonic that is in full force to try to hold down and to keep back the people of God, in the middle of all of this, God, by His Holy Spirit, raises up those who will speak for Him in the latter days. God raises up those who would be a blessing to this life and to this world. God raises up those who speak His truth, unadulterated, uncompromised, always strengthening and rooting out that which needs to be rooted out, and encouraging and building up the body of Christ into the most holy faith. See, God wants you strong, and you can be strong, but it takes also your will involved. It takes also you saying in yourself, Lord God, your will be done. You got to say, Lord God, your will be done in Jesus' name. And as you do that, as you mean that sincerely, you're praying for His will. God will bring it to you. God will show you. You may not like the way that He shows you. You may not like the things that He shows you. But you got to also know that He's not going to cheat you out of life. He's not going to cheat you out of life. He's going to show you. He's going to be real with you. He's going to be helpful for you. But in all things, know that He's going to carry you through. But you've got to do your side. And your side is trusting Him. Your side is holding on. In the middle of whatever it is that you experience, you got to learn to hold on. You know, there's a buddy of mine that he used to hand out these little wooden monkeys to friends that he had that would be going through difficult situations. And there were these monkeys that had kind of like hooks for both sides for their hands. And so you could pretty much hang them on anything. And you could even hang them onto each other and hang them off of a shelf or whatever. And he used to give them to people and just with a little note, or he'd just tell it to them straight. He'd say, you know, no matter what comes up, hang in there. And it's a very, very good word for the people of God at all times, which is hang in there. You know, it's similar to him who overcomes. You got to hang in there to overcome. You got to not give up to overcome. You got to, when everybody else is turning against you and falling off and losing the faith, you've got to have something in you that tells you, you got to hang in there. And what that voice is, you got to yield to that voice of the Spirit, because He is going to strengthen you to do that which He's called you to do. He's going to equip you to do that which He's called you to do. He's going to break that stranglehold of your flesh over your life. He's going to break that stranglehold of the worries, riches, and the pleasures of this world. He's going to do that in you so that you can grow, so that you can be that good seed that fell on good soil and grew and produced an abundant, bountiful harvest. God is going to bring forth a bountiful harvest in your life. He is going to bring forth that which He has promised, that which He has destined for you. He will bring it forth. And in all of this, as you trust Him, He will lead you. He will guide you. He will carry you through. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. I always love to hear from you. All right. We'll catch up later. Bye.